Gloucester History Festival.
Beams in the Blackfriars were donated by Henry III. And
I mean, there's so much great stuff that goes on here. If anyone's not been to Gloucester History Festival.
The Gloucester History Festival special series on History with Jackson.
So hello and welcome back to the History Jackson Festival. The History Jackson Festival, bloody hell, I messed up already. The Gloucester History Festival on the History Jackson podcast. And we are joined by Philip Moss, who is one of the creators behind Gloucester Recreating the Past. How are you doing, Philip?
Indeed, yes. Hi. Hello.
No, it's really glad to have you on the podcast and to talk to you about this book, Gloucester Recreating the Past. So where did the idea of this book come from?
Well, it's one of those things that I'm thinking back about it, I'm not quite sure how it happened. The thing was, it was mainly through sort of Andrew Armstrong, who was who is the city archaeologist. And over the years, I used to do a lot of talks on local history, and I was involved with archaeology for a great number of years anyway, and I was an illustrator anyway. And I started doing some drawings to illustrate my own talks, which I then gave to let Andrew have, because for his talks as well. And then he said, oh, well, there ought to be a book in this somewhere. And then the History Press, it's still a bit vague at the moment about how the History Press got involved, but I'm very pleased to say they did. And so consequently, lots of the reconstructions, basically most of them already existed, because I'd done interpretation of Roman sites and medieval sites and buildings and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so consequently, it happened.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a tale a lot of historians talk about, of the project came from somewhere, but that's as to where it developed, it happened,
that's
really.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, we've got so many wonderful things here in Gloucester, and I think that there have been some pretty good sort of publications in the past, but there are certain areas which have never been covered. And say we have so much here in the city, and the history obviously is over 2,000 years of history here, and I thought it was rather nice to get this out into the public, really.
And I think it's a lovely tale of a personal relationship, your relationship with Andrew, but also your relationship with local history. So why is local history so important? Because often been overlooked in the historical community.
Yeah, I think the main thing about my interest in history as per se, it's all about people, basically. And I think when you look back in history and you sort of suddenly names crop up and you read something and who the hell was he, you know, or what's this all about? And I suddenly found that the more I've explored it through, you suddenly get this thing about people. And I think that's what really interests me, is say their lives and right the way throughout Gloucester's history.
I think that's a beautiful way of looking at it. We often, as I said, with local history, often overlook local history, but forgetting the role that people play within that is
absolutely
is something.
And
we
also
do.
You too, you things happen in Gloucester even through up to the modern day, and you thought, hang on, this rings a bell. I mean, the problem is that Gloucester people had in the medieval period, you still got some of it today. And I mean, it is history repeating itself, and I just find it absolutely fascinating, and also to trying to bring to life some of the bits and pieces that have disappeared, and I think people appreciate it, because they can't envisage what it would have looked like at the time, because often sometimes you get the archaeology, which is just a few piles of stones in the ground, but when you realise it, you can interpret that in there and say, well, that's what it really looked like, you know.
Well, that leads into my next question rather perfectly, actually, is, you know, what challenges were there in creating this book?
Well, initially it was, oh, what's it like? And there are one or two ones I thought I'd like to do.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly realise that, well, there is really so little information. And often when you look back through old engravings, and very often you go through some of the older history books, you can get a good idea about what it may have looked like. And I have to admit that sometimes you wing it a little bit, because you think, well,
oh,
we
don't
know.
Of course we do,
And I do say in the start of the book, I said that all these drawings were done with the best information available, and I just hope in the future when more information comes available, people will actually correct it and put their own drawings up, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's a lovely way of looking at this history as being an evolutionary process.
Well, a very good friend of mine, I won't mention his name, is a very well-known, respected archaeologist, and he dug and published over the years, and he said, I do like to fly a kite. And he said, and that's when he does in his conclusions, he makes some interesting statements in the hope it pushes somebody else to say, well, hang on, you know, and research goes on, and all of a sudden you get a new slant on something.
That's a lovely cyclical process. Now, I may have just asked a difficult question. This one's probably going to be even more difficult. Like asking a mother to choose her favourite child. But which was your favourite piece to do in here?
Oh.
See, I told you it'd be more difficult, didn't I?
That is difficult. I mean, I did so many of these over such a long period of time. And I know it's old hat to say, but the one I'm really interested in is the one I'm working on at the moment. But I think quite like the one on the cover. I mean, Andrew and I were saying, well, this sort of embodies building. It says something about the book, and there's people. And
of course.
The front. And all of it's been wonderful, really. In it, we've got a reconstruction of the tabula set. The earliest known backgammon set was discovered here in Gloucester.
Yeah.
And I had to draw up all the bits and pieces archaeologically and also then to do a reconstruction of it. I mean, that was incredibly satisfying. But then again, all of them.
No, I think that's a brilliant answer. Now, I've got a final fun question for you, as I do for all guests here on the History Jackson podcast. You've obviously been involved with Gloucester History Festival. Yeah. What is your favourite thing you've seen or heard or learnt here at Gloucester History Festival?
Well, we've been going for 11 years, or so, or 12, I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's a long time. This, again, as you said, how can you pick it with so many different subjects, what have you? It's very difficult. I was quite interested with Michael Wood, actually. I know Michael. And he often talks mainly about sort of the sort of the Anglo-Saxon, and he's talking about China. And I have to admit, I know nothing about China and history. And I found absolutely fascinating.
Brilliant.
I think that's the one. At the moment, we've still got more to go.
Yeah.
I think that one is the one. Yeah.
I think that's a great answer. And where can people grab a copy of Gloucester Recreating the Past?
Yes, they're here. They've got them on sale here at the festival, and they're also in Waterstones, and they're
brilliant. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.